Subconsciously, we always create problems harder than we think we can bear. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with a thought for today. Subconsciously, we always create problems harder than we think we can bear. Subliminally, we create circumstances that are overwhelming. For instance, we have a heart surgery, bypass. And then after we have that, then we have other problems that get to us. We have problems that, we have cancer, or we have lung problems, or we have this, or we have that. Now, every one of these problems are problems that we create for ourselves. Now you say, well, why would we create things like that for ourselves? Why would anyone in their right mind create things like that for themselves? And that's correct. Why would anyone in their right mind do that? But we create these problems not so that we can solve the problems, but so we can see how we respond to the problems. It's not the problems that we have, it's how we respond to them that makes the problems beneficial or useful to us. People have all sorts of problems. Now, why do bad things happen to good people? We often ask that, And, well, because good people have put the bad project or problem in motion for themselves. It's not that they say, I want a bad problem. They say, here's one thing about it. Whenever you feel sorry for someone who has a problem, you are creating that problem in yourself. Whenever you feel sorry for someone who has cancer, you're creating cancer in your own system. You're thinking about it, you're empowering it, you're dwelling upon it, and you want to see, how would I handle it? If you ever have someone wrongly accuse you of doing something, you say to yourself, now, how would I handle that, How would I handle the circumstance if someone ever did that to me? And then you create the situation whereby you can have it. Now, how would you handle it? How would you handle cancer? How would you handle heart bypass? How would you handle any of these things that come along? You would just do it and say, I am whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. Now, you say, well, that's Pollyanna. That's not realistic at all. Yes, it is. I'm whole and perfect. People go around saying these things, and they experience these things, and you say, well, do you know anybody who had cancer and said I was whole and perfect and then was whole and perfect? No. Because I don't know about people who are having that right mental attitude. People who have that right mental attitude, they put that in motion, and they don't talk about their cancer. They don't talk about their cancer, their problem. They talk about their wholeness and perfection. And this is what they outpicture. This is what they reveal in their life. This is what they are. Subliminally, we create circumstances that are overwhelming because it's kind of fun. It's a game that we play. We constantly want a more difficult chess companion, someone who can really challenge us. And what do when we get them? Then we use our greatest genius to apply ourselves to win the game. Now, do you want to have challenges in your life? Do you think that challenges are fun? Do you think that challenges are exciting? And I ask that question just to show you and me and us and all how stupid we are. Okay, when you go to a movie, do you like a movie that is all love and sweetness and light? No. You want a movie that's got a little bit of action in it. You want a movie that's got a little bit of verve in it, a little bit of fight in it. You want a movie that's got a little bit of drama and a little bit of conflict in it. You love that. And how wonderful it is. And that's what you create in your life. You may create little conflicts or big conflicts, but every movie that you go to is what you choose to have in your life. Now, the neighbors are having an argument. You say to yourself, oh, that's so terrible. The neighbors are having an argument. What a shame the neighbors are having an argument. I can hear the argument all the way over here. And she's got a case there. I can understand her case. And he's got a case there. I can understand his case. And we have our noses way over in our neighbor's house. Now, if our neighbors have a fight, it's up to us how we respond to it. That is a cancer in our life. And we say, I got cancer. No. We say, I'm whole and perfect. We listen to our neighbors and we say, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. She, oh, he, oh, they, you know, we love to grovel in their mud. But how terrible we are to do that. How evil we are to do that. Because we're making their problem worse and we're making ourselves accessories to the problem. So, if we would rather say, hey, all is in divine order. We hear a siren, we say, someone's in a rush to go to the hospital to have a baby. Oh, come on, Herb. Hey, knock it off. I can say anything I want. And don't you knock me off for saying what I want to say. You know? Don't tell me that if I say someone's going to the hospital to have a baby, that's silly. Well, hey, what else are you going to say? You got something better to say? You got, the firemen are out trying out their whistles, you know. They're having fun running around the block. They're taking all the kids for a ride, showing them how the sirens work. Well, that's okay. That's just as stupid as saying, you know, somebody's going to the hospital to have a baby, you know, with the siren going. Well, you know, in a lot of these movies, they show somebody racing to the hospital with their wife to have a baby, and then the policeman stops them. Officer, we're taking our wife to the baby to have the hospital. You know, no, we're taking my wife to the hospital to have a baby, Bob. And the officer says, okay, here we go. And he turns on the siren, follow me. Yeah, that's in the movies. And so, I whether it happens in real life or not, I can't imagine, but it happens in the movie. And excitement, you know, a little bit of dynamics. Why not? Why not? You know? And is there something wrong with having a baby? Is that terrible? Oh, that's a lovely thing, isn't it? Beautiful. One of life's very great treasures, the propagation of the race. How wonderful. And what beautiful new souls are popping up here and there and everywhere. Now, what do you do when you face something like this? What do you do when someone calls you naughty words, when someone talks about you in a naughty way and says that you are unkind or that you're evil or you're this or that? You say to them, hey, I think you are the most astute, beautiful person in the world. Because I say the bad stuff about you? No, because you only think good thoughts. But I just said bad stuff. You only say good stuff. You are such a wonderful, beautiful, thoughtful person. And, you know, you amaze me. You utterly amaze me. Every time I meet you, you've got something nice to say about somebody. But I didn't. Every time I meet you, you will not pay any attention to anything other than who you are. And you look at them and you see who you are. And by the time you're done with them, they will either go crazy or they'll change their way. And more likely they'll change their way. Oh, what a fruit lady. Oh, how stupid. She didn't even understand what I'm trying to mean to her, you know. No, that's right. Don't even understand they're trying to be mean to you. You know? You're the creator. Subliminally, we always create problems harder than we think we can solve. But can we bear them? We don't have to bear them. All we do is put another cause in motion. This person is being very unkind, blah, 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 telling us how terrible we are. And all we do is just look at them and say, my goodness, you are such a wonderful person. I really like having you around. And you think, you know, that's crazy, you know. And then pretty soon, you know, what do you mean I say nice things about? Well, you came over here the other day and you said, we had an extra loaf of bread and we're going to go out of town for a while, and rather than let the bread get hard in the refrigerator, we thought you might like to have it. Well, thank you. Actually, the bread was 2 weeks old and it was stale. They wanted to get rid of it and they wanted to be mean to us. Well, that didn't bother us. Mother was just about to make some bread pudding, and so she took the bread and she made bread pudding with it. Thank you very much. How did you know? I was just ready to make bread pudding and I wanted 3-week-old bread. But you see, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And who's God?
I.
Who's God? You see, we forget who God is. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God's us. And so when we start looking at these things, start realizing these things, start living these things, start working these things, we're fantastic. By the way, did I mention to say that this is the thought for today?
Yes.
And that's great. I'm glad I did. Sometimes I get so excited about going on my topic here, I forget to say the little introductory details. But it doesn't matter. The talk is a talk is a talk is a talk, whether the details are not are there or not. You know, it doesn't matter. What matters is that never are we going to allow our subliminal consciousness to manufacture and control our life. Never. We're never going to let our subliminal consciousness manage ourselves. we are going to always be on top of it. Always be alert. Always be alert. Ingeborg, when someone gets after you, and you say, I wonder why they're getting after me. I wonder why they're... You don't say that. You immediately say, hey, that's so nice of you to pay attention to me. That's so nice of you to be thinking about me. How nice of you. I wasn't thinking nice things about you. Hey, you are always thinking, you know, and you play the old game. So you're in charge. Yeah. Hey, consciously, they want to rip you apart. They want to give you a hard time. They want to tear you down. And they want to play on the game court that they're playing on. And do you want to play on their game court? No. You want to play on your own. You want to be your own master. You want to put your own causes in motion. You want to put your own activity in motion. Rick stopped off at something to smell on the way and along the path. And he stopped, and he was gone quite a while. And I turned the corner twice. And so I said to myself, okay, Rex, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. He was at the road at the Las Montañas there. And I walked along, and I said, Rex, you love to walk with me. You are such a wonderful dog in my mind, in my thought. And then next thing, here comes the thundering hoofbeats behind me, and he comes roaring past me just like a thundering herd of horses, and you know, his feet are kicking up the sand, and he's just having a ball. And I say, Rex, you're wonderful. And he looks back and says, yeah. And then he goes on and just has a good time. And then I was sitting at the bench up there, and Rex was looking around at things. And I said, Rex, come here. I want you to have your favorite leash on right now. And he says, okay. And he comes there and gives me his neck, and I hook the leash on, and then he lays down for a minute. He says, whenever you're ready to go, I'm ready, Dad. And then I was ready in a moment or two, and then we got up and we walked, and he didn't pull. He was enjoying it. You see, mentally, I have this good practice field here with him, and it works so beautifully. I should really use it in every area, you know. Really? Really use it in every area. I mean, when we have a little practice area like him, or like any of our pets, or any of our people in our world, you know, our husbands, our wives, our children, or anything that, we just put those lovely thoughts in motion, and beautiful things happen. Now, if you were to walk into my house right now, you would say, ah, cyclone went through here, and still here. Everything is upside down, topsy-turvy, really quite a mess. And I put the new bookcase in place, and it looks rather nice. Want to get the tabletop in there and get that so it looks nice. And then I'll move things onto the new tabletop, and then we'll move the other stuff out. But you should have seen how it was when I pulled the desk credenza away from the wall and the other things away. It looked like nobody had been living down there for a long time, and everything that was down there was dead, all the flies and so forth. And so I took the vacuum cleaner, and I vacuumed the big vacuum, and whoosh, 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 and I went over it about 8-10 times. And it is so fluffy, and it is so beautiful, and it is so clean, and it's so nice, you know, waiting for me to put a board on top to keep it that way for next time. But you see, it was so beautiful when you do things like this, and you do it for the fun of it. You do it for the joy of it. And it's just a great thing. And then the cable from the old the satellite that we're using, not using right now, was hanging inside the house, you know, inside, dangling. So I shoved it back in the wall. And it all went back in the wall very nicely, just leaving the two little prongs sticking out. And so it looks, you know, orderly. And now then I hid it behind the bookcase where you can't see it. But that's okay, too. And then I cut a little hole in the back of the bookcase so that the plugs for all of the telephones are reachable. And then it covered two of my six plug panel for electricity, but that's okay. I stuck one in there, so now it only covered one. And I can also stick something in that one, and it won't have it covered any. But it is so great. It is so neat. Now everything is falling right into place, and I'm not creating problems larger than I can bear. I am creating little steps. You see, I will not look at my desk. I will not look at any of my stacks of stuff and say, oh, what a tangled mess. I'm going to have to straighten all that spaghetti out and put it into place. But I took down my my air port from my Macintosh, and it's a circular thing that sends out beams and signals around. And I was wondering, why it was never, well, actually, I'd never run a LAN cable into it from my computer or from, my telephone. And if I had run it in there, then it would send. But it works perfectly. It always says it's full strength. It's doing everything wonderful, but it's not plugged to anything to send. So now I'm going to plug something for it to send. And see, I've only had it up to about 2 years, 3 years. But it always was on my computer saying, it's working, but of course there's nothing there to send. You see, we don't need to create problems bigger than we can handle. And we don't need to create them. Now, we say, why do nice things happen to bad people? And why do bad things happen to nice people? Well, these are all test part of things. Bad people have nice thoughts sometimes, They have nice thoughts that they want to rob people's houses. They have all their little goodies and they have all these things. But then after a while, they're not happy with it. After a while, they feel dirty with it and they don't want to have it in their house. They don't want to have it around at all, The wife of a robber who brings home his wife a new ring that he stole from somebody, she always feels icky with it on her finger, And she says, I'll take it back. I don't want that around here. I don't want any part of something that doesn't belong to us. You see, our nature, our beingness doesn't allow us to do this. And so when you and I have stinky thoughts in our mind, like cancer, what happens? We have cancer. And when we have clean thoughts in our mind, every organ action function of my body is perfect, then we don't. When we have stinky thoughts in our mind, we have it. When we don't, then we don't. Now, remember that. Remember that with anything you might be experiencing, whether it's a cold, whether it's limitation, whether it's poverty, whether it's anything at all, bad relationships, whatever it may be, you have those thoughts of bad relationship in your mind, and that's why you're having the bad relationship. You start having the thoughts of good relationships in your mind, and then you have good relationships. You start having the thoughts of abundance in your consciousness, and you have abundance. You start having the thought of harmony, peace, happiness, and love, and joy, and that's what you have. You understand? It's so simple. And yet, why don't the doctors teach this? Look, change your stinking thinking. Today you have cancer thinking. Now let's have healthy thinking, Let's say this is a Gesundheit house, a house for the healthy people, Not a Krankenhaus house, a house for the sick, like a hospital for the sick. And how stupid of people, how stupid of people to say more people die in the hospital than any place else. Well, why? Because people expect more people to die in hospitals than any place else. Well, stop it. More people are blessed with a new understanding of health and enjoyment of life in the hospitals than you can imagine, than anywhere else, perhaps, because people are just going there to get a new lift on life. They want the doctors to say, you're living in your eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body, now live up to it. Get rid of those old stinky thoughts that tell you you're living in a dirty old body, and now you're living in a clean old body, a beautiful, wonderful, fantastic body, you see? Mm-hmm. Now, what would they do to the doctors who did that? They'd fire them. Because the doctors are supposed to be working with sick people. Can you imagine if nobody had any teeth problems, the dentist wouldn't have a job, would they? They stopped using ice boxes and the icemen stopped being around. They're still around in small amounts, but there's no need for them. You see, when you don't need illness, then you won't have it. When you don't need it in your consciousness, in your thinking, in your attitude, you won't have it. When bad people don't need bad thoughts in their consciousness, they'll all of a sudden become good people. They always were. They just had to get rid of that frosting of bad thoughts, and put on the frosting of, goody, goody, goody thoughts, So this is where we are. Does this make any sense to you?
Yes.
It makes sense to me.
Oh, yes.
So let's apply it and let's put it into motion and let's enjoy it. It's fantastic. This morning as I walked the path, I took my other tape recorder along and I was walking along and I was talking away and I was saying all these things. And then I just casually thought to look down at my computer and my recorder, and it wasn't working. It worked for 1 minute and 34 seconds, just enough to get me started. But this is just fine-tuned. It's just fine-tuned, and it's wonderful. Just remember, my loves, if you ever have any evil sickness or anything in your life, it's because you are connected with your land to evil thoughts. If you ever have any in your life that you don't like, it's because your nose is pressed against that experience in somebody else's world. You're sorry for them, or you're sorry for yourself, or whatever. And you say, isn't that too bad that bad things happen to good people? Well, no. It's a law of cause and effect that humans work with. And the cause says they're paying attention to sickness, they have sickness. You say, well, doctors don't have sickness. You don't know what doctors have. You don't know what doctors have. Unless the doctor is a good old positive metaphysical doctor, like Ugo. Yeah. Ugo is a good positive metaphysical doctor, psychiatrist and psychologist and man of all reasons. People come to him to be healed, to be aware of their wholeness, to be aware of their genius, to be aware of their nowness. And Ugo, I always think Victor Hugo and then Ugo. Ugo is that perfect expression of that. So people come to him and say, you're so perfect, you're so wonderful, I'd like to be just like you. But here's how you do it. Think me thoughts. Just think, Ugo is wonderful, Ugo is fantastic, Ugo is, I want to say me is fantastic. Well, okay, then say you are fantastic. Don't blame it all on me. I like to be fantastic, and so I'm fantastic. But if I say to you I'm fantastic, you'll say I got an ego problem. You know? So I just say to you, you say that you're fantastic, and you have the ego problem. And that's not bad, is it? Well, you have a lovely day, and remember that I'm always here as the absolute philosopher and the instant illumination, and right now I'm with you as the software today, bringing you these 22 minutes and 40 seconds of magic and memory and happiness. I love you.
Love you.
I love you. I love you.